I'm joined in studio by two guests this morning, and in 2011 they moved into their own self-designed and self-built house made from earth, timber and straw bales, and they are Fela Butler and Colin Ritchie. Thanks very much for joining
Hello, good morning, in studio.
Hi, thanks for having us.
Brilliant to talk to you. Tell us how this all started. Where did the idea come from that, right, we're going to do this, we're not going to be conventional, we're going to start the house this way, Fela?
Well, I suppose we spent a bit of time travelling and we were in the Southern Hemisphere for quite a while and exposed to a lot of different ways of doing things down there. And that kind of stuck with us when we came back a bit. But then I was lucky enough to work with Colin Bell in Sligo for 4 years, and he'd be quite well known as a very kind of sustainable architect. And he had a book on his shelves about building with earth, and I just thought this was fascinating and started researching it, and found out that the people who'd written the book were actually teaching a course down in County Cork. They were from America, so what were the chances? But anyway, as soon as I saw that, I decided, right, that was it. This is 2005, in the middle of the boom. I was booking us on a building course, which Colin wasn't too happy about, because he was hard at work building people houses for
a
living.
Yeah, I was building houses all the time, and then we're actually going to have to pay pretty good money. Go and build a house for somebody else. So I dug my heels in, but I think I bought a few new surfboards lately around that time, and basically I was just told I was going, and that was it. But I was very inspired once I was on the course.
The course just blew our minds, and that was it. We decided we were building our house.
The whole material of mud just asked to be sculpted and shaped, you know. It's instead of building rectilinear houses, which the old mud houses used to be, we actually put, you know, a lot of hand sculpting into the house, actually.
Okay. So, you know, people have probably all these images in their mind. What does it look like?
Well, it's not an African mud
hut. A lot of people tend to think we're living in a mud hut. Like, it's actually a three-bedroom, sort of two-living-room normal house with a extremely curved roof, curved walls.
It's gotten quite a bit of attention so far. So it was in the Sunday Times recently, actually, in the property section, and they described it as being a kind of curvy fairy tale house with an armadillo roof.
So, it's a good description.
If you want to see what it looks like, there's mudandwood.com. That's the website. There's plenty of photos on that.
Well, tell us how you did it, how you put it all together.
Fela's an architect. Yeah. So she designed the house with a lot of curves and contours. Then after we went on the course, we were all foot mixing and hand building, and I realised it was going to take way too long to build a normal size house. So one of the local farmers, Sam Higgins, gave me a loan of his digger. So in a hole in a garden, after we excavated the foundations, we mixed the mud up, added straw and a bit of water and mashed it up. Then I built plywood formwork, which we then whacked and tamped the walls into place in the formwork. And then as soon as you get the mud in, you take the form straight off and you're left with the wall shape.
The shape.
Yeah. The house is actually interesting as well. It actually sits on a big rock slabs that came from where Super Value is in Ballysadare. They were rock breaking there, and while they were rock breaking for the swimming pool and all, we get these maybe half ton big slabs of rock, so the actual house sits on them, which is on top of maybe 2 feet of drainage stone.
So does it take long to dry out then, and does the weather matter when you're putting it all together and all these different elements?
Not really, like, it slowly dries. I'd say before we could put another lift on the cob, it took maybe 5 to 6 days of drying. Then you could put another lift on, which was half a metre at a time.
But we run courses as well, and last year we built a little building in the back garden, a kind of playhouse for the kids, and it was an 8-day course, but just teaching how to build with this material. And because we wanted the students to get lots of experience, you know, we were doing lifts after only 2 and 3 days, and it was a really wet week that week, and like, it's a very forgiving material. So when we built the house, we built it with, you know, brilliant quality control, and had everything 100% right. But even the little kind of playhouse we built now last year, I mean, you wouldn't actually know. It wasn't built under the best circumstances, and it's still
it's
wonderful condition.
It's bomb-proof material.
Bomb-proof material.
But it's actually subsoil. It's not the topsoil that you would grow things in. It's the soil below that, which is actually, you know, worthless. Really has much value on subsoil.
So, in terms of what it would have cost you to build, say, a normal house, as you'd call it, compared to this, is there a cost saving?
There is and there isn't. I suppose the way I'd put it, we, as Colin was saying, built the house quite curvy. It was a real showcase. And once you start introducing curves, the roof is curved. You know, we had to slate a curved roof. You have to build in curved furniture. So that puts the cost up. But even having done it that way, we built it for about €81 a square foot. But I suppose the thing is, we are, being an architect and a carpenter by trade, you know, we have a lot of background in that. What I would also say is, when you start using natural materials like this, when you're using mud and straw bale and things, you do actually need to be careful what you use with it. So you can't just use, say, cement render or like an acrylic paint. You'd have to use breathable paint. So even though some of the materials are free, some of the other materials you can't buy the mainstream stuff, so you do actually have to spend a bit more. But what I would say is, if you were building a more standard shape house, it's not going to cost you anything more than a conventional house.
Slightly
house.
More labour intensive, but your material's free.
Yeah.
But you end up with such a different finished result.
You end up with something completely individual
result.
And, you know, internally you can go crazy sculpting and adding personal touches.
Yeah, so there's no straight corners, and you know, everything's curved, and as it goes into the windows it's all curved. Even our light fittings up lighters, they're like little bird's nests moulded out of mud. And then I guess the wood in it, the wood just enhances it. I came across a lot of windfall trees down in Iske and from local farmers. And once we milled them up and actually built the kitchen, and the staircase goes round about a big tree in the centre of the house.
Lovely.
If you look at the website, like the bunk beds and all the doors, it's just using all the curves of natural edge timber, really enhances the shape of the building we built.
Yeah, like we've had comments, everything from hobbit houses to Shrek houses to living in the magic faraway tree. So, yeah, there's definitely
On the website, there's some really interesting YouTube sections there that if you fancied a wee look to.
In terms of how long it's going to last?
Well, I think in Britain, the oldest recorded wood building still standing is from the 14th century. And in Ireland, I have been, since we started, I suppose, Mud and Wood as a business, and people have been getting in touch with us, I've heard of buildings up to 250 years old. There's a lot of mud buildings around Ireland, mud-walled buildings. We have a bit of an issue with them, I suppose. I think in our psyche, we often think of famine cottages and absolute destitution and poverty. But, you know, and I think there's also, there hasn't been much of an understanding of it. A lot of mud buildings, if they're still rendered, people actually think it's stone. But they're starting, I suppose, to get on the radar because there's been a bit of a revival in mud building for contemporary building. But I know recently down in the southeast, they identified 600 mud walled buildings, and 150 of them have been put onto the National Architectural Inventory. There's a lot of them about.
But you actually build stonework up to about knee high to get the earth off the ground. So you have a stem wall and then a reasonably decent overhang on the eaves.
Okay.
And if you keep the water, a good pair of boots and a good hat, that's what they say called building. And then it's lime rendered on the outside. So it would last
centuries
if you know it had, you know, the water didn't get in from above and the render was fine.
Practical things like heating and things like that, how did you install your heating, and was there a difference compared to
hardly any heaters? Yeah. I mean, for electrics and stuff you just chase into the wall, you know, you cut a channel in the wall like you would with, you know, a concrete block building, and you put your cables in a conduit.
But the heat source is only one stove
in the whole house.
10 kilowatt stove in the house that heats all the rads and some hot water. And in the summer with solar panels, but the house is toasty.
It's pretty much
for a small tiny fire that heats the whole place. Yeah. It works out really well.
It's a 1400 square foot house and all that off one stove.
But loads of south-facing windows. Okay. That's the any sun at all, you know, the house is heating up. And even the light in it, if you look at some of the pictures, there's just south windows everywhere. And the whole thing with living with light, I think it's nearly as important as heat, I think. You know, it makes you... You're always looking out, even on a rainy day, thinking, oh, do you think
the sun's
going to come out?
Yeah. Yeah. Now, you've brought some of it into me, actually, Colin.
A lump of the building material.
I hope your equipment isn't
it's
too...
It's very, very heavy.
It's just earth with the stones in it mixed with straw. The test for the straw is if you've got a wet piece and you try and pull a piece of it apart with a friend, it shouldn't pull
and you
apart.
Can't.
And you can't, yeah.
Wow, I can't get over how heavy it is.
Yeah,
it's really,
people
really
always
heavy.
Get a surprise. Yeah,
because it doesn't look that heavy when you look at it.
Well, when we mixed the mud and the hole with the machine, we built the plywood formwork and then we whacked it in with... basically big logs in the end of a stick like here.
Yeah, a lot of the the equipment we use to build the house, they look like it comes out of the Flintstones, really. Yeah. Doesn't it?
So does the timber work, like, hey, you know, the doors and the bunk beds are We run courses all through the summer. Fairly even runs design courses, you know, and just designed in normal buildings.
And the website again is?
Is mudandwood.com.
Well, look, Fairly.
It's well worth having a look.
Yeah. Fairly Butler and Colin Ritchie, thanks very much for coming in and sharing your story with us today. And we'll see lots more mud houses around the north.
Thanks very much.
Thanks.